quote, tens of thousands of eyewitnesses that they were going to bring forward to make these claims. So they front-loaded this campaign with these major claims that there was forensic evidence and thousands of witnesses. Then their final article comes out, you know, at the end of the month, and to a casual reader, you would come away from reading it saying, well, they proved it. They made their case. This barbaric terrorist organization did use rape systematically against Israeli women, and that was used, you know, to justify the continuation of the war on Gaza. But then, as you said, when the Daily tried to look closer at the article, they realized they couldn't actually stand up the claims that were being made in it. And so inside the Times, you have this extremely intense debate going on. And I think leaders at the Times have been surprised. They're used to external criticism, but the amount of internal criticism they're getting has them on the back foot.
And finally, Jeremy, we just have 30 seconds, but even the use of the term terrorist within the New York Times and the stepping back of one of the leading, editorial directors.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of concern right now, particularly among reporters, who do work on an international level, that there has been a politicization of this war internally within the newsroom that is impacting the coverage. And I think it's pretty clear. You can see that in some of the journalism. And now the New York Times. The New York Times has ended up walking back the major claim that they made, and now they're saying hedge words that may have occurred. That's one of the most significant things we uncovered here.
Jeremy Scahill and Ryan Grimm, they are the co-authors of the piece Between the Hammer and the Anvil.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kbu.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 3. This February and March, you will hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our talented programmers. If you'd like to help KBOO reach our $22,000 goal by March 16th, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321 right now. We thank you and you're welcome.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are KBOO's number one most listened to radio show on Fridays at 8 a.m. when we are on. And with me is the
brilliant... Well, introduce yourself, because you're here.
Okay, well, I am Tammy.
Yes.
I've been away. I'm back. And with me is the brilliant, the quick-witted, the illustrious, the Whoa. Alluring...
Oh, my God.
Althea Billings.
I've missed you. I've missed the intro. We are so back. If you're new to the show, you don't know how big of a deal it is.
It is a big deal.
We haven't had Tammy here with us for a month. I do want to do a quick little shout out to Aviva, Makosi, and Lenita, who were on with me while you were gone. So glad to have you back. We can discuss why you were gone in a second. But just want to mention to folks that we are in KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 3 special programming campaign. We're doing a bunch of fun stuff through February and March. If you want to support us, kboo.fm/give. You can also text the word KBOO to 44321. We got a metal marathon kicking off tonight, folks. Oh. And tomorrow, Saturday Market reopens. Their 50th anniversary, and we have KBOO DJs there doing stuff during the day, so you should come say hi. Exactly. But yeah, so Tammy's been gone for a whole month. Let me ask I'm sure people want to know, what brought you back?
The weather.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Specifically, the lack of sunshine 24 hours a day.
Right.
I don't want to know if it's the morning time or afternoon. I don't like the golden hours. I don't like feeling the sunshine upon me face.
Interesting.
I don't like any of that. Came back. I said, no more vitamin D for this gal.
Yeah.
I kid. I live here. I breathe here. I pay taxes here.
So true.
Okay. Okay, let's not forget that.
That, you know, any rumors that you and I were feuding, or you want to put those to bed, right?
Yeah, we're not feuding. actually, I was really sick after my travels, and you brought a care package.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I'm a
had
good friend.
All of the stuff.
Sorry, I wasn't fishing for that.
I mean, it even had the little note in it, which I assume that you cut into the shape of the heart.
I did, yeah.
I didn't think otherwise. Oh. I was just like, this for sure came full-sized. She cut this. I could tell. I just know you.
I'm not that good at cutting hearts,
the
guys.
The Theraflu was great.
Yeah, we love Theraflu.
I just learned about it. Listen, the garlic and the ginger were helping me until they weren't.
Yeah.
That I needed some of this medication. But yeah, no, not at all. Thank you for holding down the fort. And people were calling in and being nice. So, yeah.
Well, people were wondering where you were. And so we're so glad to have you back. We like to do a two-parter type of show. I should say what we're doing instead of just being so excited to be here. We like to do a two-parter type of program at the beginning of the show for the first half. Oftentimes we'll do an interview. Sometimes we'll do a news roundup. Today we're rounding up some news headlines for you. And then in the second half, we'll get into our community question where you can call in and chat with us about our question of the day. So we got a lot of news.
Yeah, we got a lot of news. I'm looking for my handkerchief, but it's okay. I'm just free flowing over here, not contagious anymore. Big news we got this week. On Wednesday, Mitch McConnell said, "Listen, I'm alive, but I'm not. I don't want to do this anymore." He stepped down as senior minority leader, or will step down in November. But I saw this one article, and he was talking about it. He's like, he's not dying. We don't know why he's stepping down. And it's like, are you kidding? Do you not remember when, like, three times he just stopped mid speech and just
he froze, like, and then the aides are like, well, it seems like he's done. So all right, we're gonna go. We'll see you later.
It was such a bizarre. They were like, we don't get it. What do you mean? And they're like, he's given up to Trump. Like, no, he's given up to time. Like. He's given up to, you know, we got to retire at some point,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like, we can't, dying on the job isn't something that, and like, we should aspire to do.
It's true.
Hot take.
It's true. It's
super
true.
Hot take. But with that, also got the news that the House avoided another possibility of a shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
By another continuing
resolution. You've been
keeping
a good watch on that.
Well, because they're not making any. Listen, this is what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
Another hot take. The Republicans got to do something about themselves.
Oh, sure.
They are super divided, and they keep. I'll get back.
So maybe they need to do a team building retreat. They need to do a ropes
you
course.
You said it.
And
Trust falls. I think Marjorie
course.
Taylor Greene needs to trust someone in her fall.
Yeah,
because she's flailing and she's like doing the thing when you're like kicking and punching everyone around you as you're falling.
Yeah.
And that's what this Freedom Caucus. They are. What did I write here? Their hate for Biden and the agenda of grandstanding is making them more and more not relevant for the average person.
Yeah,
and at this time, people can appreciate, at this time specifically, right now, not a month ago, 2 months ago, 5 months ago. Right now, I think everyone can appreciate when someone can work with the opposition. No one is looking at that as a bad thing, as a weakness, except for people who are very radical. And in this time, the Republican, you know, Freedom Caucus, are they created their own group of, we're not going to play with anyone else.
Stick in the mud group.
Yeah, they're kind of they're using their own constituency. So, like, it's not. They've become so far removed from the reason why they're there, and the fact. I mean, it just seems like it's very. It's unusual that people whose job it is to, play across the aisle, but reach across the aisle, like they're being shut down, and now there's, you know, all of this stipulation about how the Republicans are getting more radical. Yeah, everyone is getting more radical. Like you can't pass a bucket.
Everybody started digging in their heels, and now, and wouldn't you all know it?
The rats of New York are.
Whoa.
The rats of New York are. Really having a great time.
Yeah.
Because you just wait until this government shutdown is inevitable and they're not going to pick up the trash. Like, that's the number one thing about the one number one thing for me personally is a trash pickup. And the rats are going to love it. No one wants to do their job. And
we need to do the equivalent of New York City realizing that trash cans exist. Did you see that video? This was a while ago. We might have talked about this, where they had, like, they were like reporters standing out watching a garbage truck that has the automatic thing that can pick up a garbage can and throw it in the back. And they're like, this is amazing. Wow, New York City. It's like everywhere else in the country has those.
Well, you know, Rudy Giuliani.
Is he the one?
Let me tell you what Rudy Giuliani... Rudy, my...
He hates trash cans.
My hair dye is flowing down my face, Giuliani. Yeah. He was... I guess he would, like... give fines even if, like, a piece of trash was to fall from, as they were, like, maneuvering from the trash can to the trash pickup truck. If, like, a piece of trash was to fall, they would find someone.
Who are they fining? Isn't it the city picking
it
up?
I'm not sure if they're fining the people or, like, the business people, like, the business owners, or if they're doing it to the truck drivers, because those are private contracts, you know? So I don't know if...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but either way, apparently... He cleaned up the streets in more than one way.
Wow.
Look,
the rats don't run this city. We do. We're still waiting for that to be born out. Like, are the rats running it? And now I'm a little lost in the metaphor.
But speaking of being lost in the metaphor.
Okay.
Well, that's all that's happening on the national stage. And
nothing else important.
We have 22 more days until the next possible government shutdown. So, yay.
22 days, huh? Couldn't even make it a calendar month. Couldn't even make it the length of February on a leap year.
Psh. Well, now that February was 29 days,
You're recalibrated.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was great of you to come back for International Women's Month. We appreciate it. Do you want to move on to the...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The local? Well...
Speaking
of rats. Well, this actually has nothing to do with rats. But there is a story in Willamette Week about Pho Gabo that was closed down for health inspection smell reasons. And there's some seriously goofy lines in this. To make a long story short, it seems that a disgruntled person in the neighborhood... in Northeast was not happy with the way that the food smelled and called the city repeatedly, and then the city kept going there, says that they need $40,000 for a filtration system now, and they ended up closing that location on February 3rd. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting things about it.
We can use the scientific terms that they have in here.
Like, yeah. It's very scientific. I want you to read the quote from it in a second. But from the article, it says, a persistent neighbor complained that the neighborhood, quote, smelled like a wok dish, triggering a dozen visits by city inspectors, fines, calls for a $40,000 air filtration system, and eventually the February 3rd closure of Pho Gabo. So, racism, obviously. But it gets... weirder. Do you want to quote? This was from the spokesperson for the Bureau of Development Services, if I'm not mistaken.
This is so bizarre. And this is quoting straight from it. Ray found zoning codes going back to 1942, including a period that required use of a scentometer to test for odors. The city inspection, who made most of the visits to Fugaboo, says the device is, quote, more of a gimmick than actual science. Colored me shocked. Yeah, this is pretty...
Finish the quote.
Equated it to trying to hear better by putting a cone up to one's ear.
Centometer. It's pseudoscience, so we're not really sure how to say it.
Well, it's in BK, they say centometer. It makes sense if here they say cento... from my studies in...
Smell-o-vision.
my study in, like, cartoon sciences.
Right, right. When you see the big smell lines and you get out your radar. Basically, there was no basis or like scientific level of that, there's no way to measure what smells are and aren't okay. And they just went after this business. That's not right.
And it's been around for a while too. It's right there. It's in such a, like a main location. This is just so odd because the complaint is smell that there's a smell of a wok dish. Like, imagine that phone call.
Yeah.
Like, hey man. I'm calling.
Hey, we got a complaint that it smells like you're cooking in there.
Like, can you imagine being like the business owner and being picky? It's like, yeah, they're like, do you want to order a wok dish? Yeah. Is that what you're calling for? Why are you calling? It smells like you're cooking in there. Yes, we're cooking in here. Would you like to order? Well, what kind of wok dishes do you have? Go check out the menu.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot. We got a lot of them. No, there's a quote from the owner saying, everybody's getting involved now, so I'm proud I'm getting all the support. Just because one neighbor complained about the smell of the food, they're making us close the business? That's not how it should work. So true. So simple. So to the point, you know?
It's...
We're a little lost for words.
You know, if Portland is a city that works, maybe it's working too. This is too much work. Maybe this. This is doing the most right now.
Yeah.
And again, they're great. They're modestly priced.
Yeah.
You have the large or regular option for the soups, and the regular option is filling. Very bizarre. Can't imagine what this phone call must have been like. I'm glad that more people are getting involved in this. Can you talk about some of the screenshots and what you saw that you sent over to me?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That was pretty cool.
I will pull that up. Yeah. Asian American Town, which is like a local group, was posting about it as well and kind of talking about like the precedent that this sets for restaurants and food carts and, just kind of trying to get people to pay attention to this, right? And not just like... let it happen and let it pass by, because how in the world is this fair? And so, they're talking about some takeaways and all of the things that were kind of tied up in this, and that there were a bunch of different, entities that were involved in basically forcing this business to close, but centered on that one neighbor's complaint, which is obviously like, okay, they're coming from wherever they're coming from, right? Does that mean the entire city should bend its will and services and everything that we pay taxpayer money for to serve this one person who doesn't like it? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, there has to be something more to this. And if this is the only thing to it, then what... like, this sets a precedent. What does it mean for the, for all, I'm going to say, like, ethnic, restaurants? Like,
that's just,
if you, it smells like a wok dish, next thing it's going to smell like a meat dish, or next thing it's going to smell like, where does it stop? And why does, like, food smelling like food offend people so much so? Like, this isn't, and again, they've been there for so long. So I'm just wondering, are these like new neighbors? Is there kind of like, some issue with the landlord in that building?
Yeah.
Is there like what?
Why didn't the, like, it seems like the landlord didn't do anything to help? Like, but no, this is again from the post from Asian American Town, saying, why should we care? This is a microcosm of harm inflicted at a larger scale. We can examine the callousness of a system or loose policies that allow for this to happen. In particular, the individuals who are not elected wield incredible power at their discretion. And like, you know, on an individualized level, you might be the person fielding four calls from this like neighbor every day, and you're like, fine, we'll send somebody out. Like, you just want to be able to tell them something to make them go away, to have them not be right. talking to you anymore. But ultimately, you're rewarding bad behavior.
Yes.
Based on pseudoscience. Centometer? Are you for real?
Centometer, excuse me.
Well, just the people aren't right. going to be able to see the spelling of it, so that's why I have to say it like that. It's, it's, and like, I don't know. We're a city that enjoys like kind of fantastic local food culture, mm-hmm. partially because of food trucks, because people are able to on a smaller scale like start businesses and stuff like that. And having this be something that hangs over people's heads, if there's one person in your neighborhood that doesn't like your vibe, can just beat down the door of the city. Some people have too much time on their hands.
That's it's
another thing. Too many phones have unlimited minutes.
We can get back to free after 9 p.m.
Well,
you think about it all day. At 9 p.m., you figure out if you need to press
well,
call.
And, you know, somebody needs to run out of minutes by the time they've, you know, berated City Hall into shutting down a business that, by all other accounts, was doing fine and, like, up to code just because somebody, you know,
it's after an
can't
18,
deal with living in a society.
This was an 18 month back and forth with the city's Bureau of Development Services and a persistent neighbor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a lot of daytime minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, this also makes me think of the Mercado. Like, that was also a little microcosm that we basically lost because of a fire. And I think that they're coming back.
The food trucks are back. I think they're still doing repairs on the building itself, which mm-hmm. had the kitchen and the juice bar and the bar in there, but yeah, like that's part of what is like special about Portland is how great the food is and like food trucks. And you know,
I think everyone should be in arms, anyone who has a business, because it could be you. Like, this is so arbitrary and so targeted, and this, you know, you know, like you said, a lot of daytime minutes that could spent, you know, targeting people in. This is like really vicious because they're putting the onus on you, on this business, to being like, well, you shouldn't smell like you're cooking wok dishes in here. Like, that's, you know, like, how does the onus now fall on this business for.
Excuse me, for using a type of a pan.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, it's not fair at all. And it's. You know, in the words of the Freedom Caucus, it might be a little bit too much government overreach.
Well, she changed her tune, folks. Where do we want to go next? Just looking at the time. Do you want to talk about Sam Adams being back? He's running for Multnomah County Commissioner. Lenita and I talked about it a little bit last week, but, you know, you're kind of the champion of reminding people his history, in my mind anyway.
I don't even want to bring it up because it's so gross, but this article in OPB definitely reminds us of all the times that, or his time in City Hall, from being chief of staff to Vera Katz, chief of staff to Mayor Vera Katz, him being the shadow mayor for Ted Wheeler for a while,
the mass encampments, internment. Sorry, no, slip of the tongue. That was his idea.
What is it? Years long complaints from women from him being super toxic.
Yep. Impossible to work with.
Another
sort of
word
thing
they used here, steamroller.
Steamrolling.
Adams' leadership style is fueled by intimidation. This is, I'm just reading what is here on this article by OPB. So he's running for District 2, county chair. I think there's some great opportunities for the new form of, you know, for people to come in instead of him and someone else to totally take that job.
The thing that I come back to is you know, he does have name recognition. You can't take that away from him. But he's also been involved in Portland, like, leadership and politics for a really long time. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we have some problems that have come to fruition in recent years that have their roots pretty far back, including, like, through his direct doing. So yes. I don't know that it's like, oh, cool. Look at the mess you made that we've never held him accountable
and
for.
And his partnerships.
Yeah.
Where... Yeah, some of those partnerships are very sketchy, and
the development, like the housing crisis. I mean, it's not all his fault, but it's not like he wasn't uninvolved. He's a big
a quote
business
from him
alliance guy.
Is too much of the decision making process at the county lacks focus, urgency, partnerships, and accountability. Adam says, and I wrote in the notes: don't tell the woman at the mayor's office or anyone who disagrees with Sam Adams.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've all been the subject of maybe somebody who is sort of like, we got to do this right now. And it's like, okay, you want to do what you want to do right now. You're not like respecting that this is like a collective decision-making thing, or like you don't just get to bear your will on people. And I'm seeing that a little bit in some of his vibes.
It is a vibe that people, you know, there's like, even in, you know, jobs and stuff, I think that you have the type of people who come into an organization or live in an organism, whether it's a community or a business or politics in any way, where it's a group of people and democracy or at least equality is part of the, you know, it's not necessarily top down, or sometimes it is top down, but you have people who want to come in and they're like, destroy everything. We're going to rebuild everything in my image, as though they're some sort of tyrannical little god.
Yeah.
And then you have the people who understand that they're like stewards of something bigger, and that they are in here for the time that they're in here. Try not to mess up too bad.
Yeah.
And make sure that they steer us towards like the collective will. And a lot of times it goes against what the person as an individual wants, which, you know, is why democracy is really hard to navigate. But this, like, we're going to stop everything and we're going to redo everything the way that I want it is not, it's not good. And we see a lot of those type of people. And Renee Gonzalez does strike me as one of those person.
Yeah.
And any of the people who are trying to, like, go against all the things that Portlanders voted, you know, in 2020 and in the special election. So, and that's not good. That's not a good look for wanting to be in a collaborative role like that, especially now since this, you know, system of government is going to be a little different for the mayor role. So,
Yeah. Well, do we want to talk about, there's like two other stories that kind of are related to
sure,
that.
Sure, right.
I don't know that I have a ton of nuanced things to say about this one, that the Portland Police Union is putting together a couple of ballot measures that would basically undo the Police Accountability Board that was passed by 82% of voters in 2020. That's a huge margin. And it's only just like community members worked on this volunteer based for 4 years. And, you know, we talked about this a couple months ago when they brought it to city council, and city council's like, some of these accountability things that we tasked you with working on for every day for 4 years, we actually don't like it. And we would love if you could sort of put some more cops back in charge of holding cops accountable for treating people badly and killing them. Could we do that? And so it's like there's a whole, you know, litigation about that. And then now the Portland Police Association is going to try to undo it entirely. All of the accountability mechanisms, all of like the things that would have people have like lived experience or like have been impacted to have a say in what is fair, you know, they're you know, it's just bad. I don't take on it. It's just not good.
would the DOJ have to get involved with these new measures? Like, would they have to sign off on these measures?
Oh, sure, of course. I mean, because that's like big, the reconcile.
It's like a big looming thing that, like, don't forget, it's not just like Portlanders saying, it's also like the federal Department of Justice saying that y'all are a little too aggressive.
And that's putting it so mildly. They could have gotten out of it years ago. And they just keep abusing the public.
Mm.
And they could stop. They could save the city a bunch of money on lawyers. Mm. They could, I mean, well, don't get started on the budget side of things. They're not interested in budget. And with all the budget stuff we have going on at the city level, nobody's cutting the police budget. No. Anyway, it's just keep an eye on that, folks. if somebody asks you to sign the petition saying that you support it, know that that's what it's about.
Mm.
And then also kind of related to what you were saying about undoing the will of the voters. And it's like when it's 82% and it was 4 years ago, like they're betting, and every like city official that has also tried to undermine this, they're betting that those people aren't here anymore and they don't care about police accountability. And that's just patently untrue.
Yeah, I don't think the math won't add up.
No.
However, I think that maybe they're also counting on people being like, things are so bad in Portland, but it's not really that only in the sense of they're not really all of the mechanisms that they put, like Portland Street Response, like all of these things where it's supposed to go in tandem. It's not, you can't just ignore the fact that they were trying to shut down Portland Street Response.
Oh, they still are.
And
they want to cut them entirely. They were
trying
from the fire
to
budget.
Put them under this department and that department and under, like, you know, a hostile department. So all of those, I think that the people are counting on either, you know, like you're saying, people, those people who voted for it not being there, which 94% of the voting population didn't leave Portland the last 4 years.
No.
I think they would have noticed that, you know. I feel like there would have been.
I'm still seeing people around.
I feel like there'd be way less traffic if there was, you know,
so
with
true,
all due respect.
So true.
But also, I don't think that any of the issues that, you know, we're seeing, I think people are smart enough to understand that there is nuance there, and that it's not like this is causing that, or, you know, in any way. And again, the DOJ lawsuit is just, it's like such a heavy thing that we can't ignore.
We can't shake,
even if
yeah.
you're like, oh, it's just as a small section of Portlanders who think that cops are bad. It's like, okay, them and the federal government.
Yeah.
You know?
And if cops could solve the problem, why haven't they solved it by now? You know? We've given them ample money and time.
Rene Gonzalez isn't picking up the phone for, like, literally not.
Well, he's lying to them about what he's encountered on TriMet. That's one thing. And then cops are lying to the public and to city government about whether or not they can enforce traffic laws. You know, it's just. Anyway, you know, that's what I try to. I want to just, you know, give people the context on this. It's like, this doesn't. As Kamala Harris wisely once said, you didn't fall out of a coconut tree.
Yes.
You were born. What is it? The context
where
in
it
which
ends.
Society exists.
No, that's
or whatever.
Where it ends. You didn't fall out of the coconut tree. If they know, they know.
The Portland police ballot measure to undo police accountability didn't fall out of a coconut tree.
Boom.
And also, like, beware of anybody who's like, you know how you wanted me to work on this project? I want to, like, get something kind of in writing about how I don't have to do any of that. It's like, why would I pay you for that? It, like, in any other context, like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to have, why is less accountability a good thing?
I think there are people who could explain why to you. And they'll, you know, there are other things they can explain to you that might not make sense. Speaking of.
Not making sense.
Speaking of the people not really knowing what they want and accidentally voting for things in math.
Sarcasm, I assume.
Yes, sarcasm. Do you want to set up the story for the last one?
I'm trying to think of how to introduce it. Well, I'll read you the title. Portland City Commissioners Rene Gonzalez and Dan Ryan question neutrality of city's voter outreach. Two characters, when they're joined hands, skipping through the world, they love to take aim at what...
to be a dandelion in that field.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, they're saying... I'm sorry, be serious. They're saying that the city that gives money to a 501c3 nonprofit called United Way... that helps to increase voter turnout, particularly among, you know, underserved, underrepresented communities, BIPOC Portlanders.
Seniors.
Folks with disabilities. Yeah. There's plenty of people who need help being able to vote or who have been historically underserved. Mm-hmm. They're saying, I'm worried it's partisan. Worried it's a little partisan.
Rene Gonzalez is saying this.
Are you worried?
You know? I just want to emphasize on the...
He's a Democrat.
He's.
Have you heard?
Have you heard he's a Democrat? Yeah, because you definitely see other Democratic runners for local government doing the same exact thing.
Trying to engage in voter suppression.
They're like, get these seniors and these blacks out of here. What are you talking about? An old black person? Get them out of here. What is
not
this
allowed.
Intersectionality? Get them out of here. Oh, they're poor too. Get them out of here.
God
right
forbid
now.
I engage in any policy making that would benefit them and they would want to vote for me. Actually,
This is in our notes, and I think that we can agree on this.
Hmm.
Voter suppression isn't very good sportsmanship.
No!
Get in
no.
or get out. You're either going to go and you're going to play the game, you're going to kiss babies, you're going to shake hands, you're going to lie to the people, you're going to say you're going to do this and then do that once you're in there. We're used to that. But don't just say, well, I'm not even playing this game.
Take your ball and go home.
This is not sportsmanship. This is not how you win the hearts of people. This is not how you play. This you got to play. You have to play. And he's just saying... No.
Dan Ryan, what are you doing?
Dan Ryan is, I feel like he's being influenced.
No.
I feel like Renee Gonzalez is a bad influence.
They shouldn't be, somebody tell their moms.
We gotta separate
No more play dates, you guys. But I feel like as soon as this gets backlash, Dan Ryan's gonna be like, I didn't know anything about it. He just, he cornered me in the hallway. Because that's what he did about them trying to gut charter reform.
I could see that.
He signs on because he wants to be in the headlines.
Sure.
And then
sure.
Everybody's like, boo, that sucks.
It's like, oh, you didn't like that?
I didn't. I was just in the meeting. Like, they just handed me a briefing and I don't know.
And where were they till now? I mean, I just don't understand.
Where were they January 6th?
where were they January 6th? Where were they till now?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're just...
What are you doing to increase voter turnout in the city other than criticizing? And this is like such, in terms of city budget, a three-year, $675,000 contract. That's peanuts to turn out voters.
Also, you know, under stipulation of being a nonprofit of that sort, you can't be partisan. So, you know...
They're saying that United Way, right, gives... parts out
PACs.
Some of that funding
okay.
to like organizations that, that yeah. have connections to the communities
sure.
that they're trying to reach, and some of those have political arms.
They see
which,
their
but,
endorsed yeah, candidates.
And so now suddenly they're worried about campaign finance. It's a little ironic. It's a lot ironic, really.
I understand their concern, but also
it comes off as very racist.
It does come off very racist, yes. And also, where have you been till now? Also,
you're not so quite as worried about how much money. Sorry, this is a great point. Let me preface it. You're not quite as worried about how many millions of city taxpayer dollars are being funneled to the Portland Business Alliance through their administration of downtown clean and safe, the Enhanced Service District. Mm. Street Roots did an article about this. Shout out Jeremiah. Go read it. There's very little accountability about where that money goes, how much of it might be spent on lobbying city officials. But this, hey, whoa.
A little
poor,
bit of
poor sportsmanship.
It's poor, yes. It's, yes. And it doesn't be part of the game. Be part of the game.
Or, like, lose valiantly, you know? And here's the other thing, is because even though the bankroll that Gonzalez and people similar to him are getting from business interests in the state, they're getting, like, maximum money from them, but it still might not be enough because you're extremely unlikable and do a lot of things that make people mad. And so the only way to win is to try to make sure people don't turn out.
That's
called taking your ball and going home. That's called changing the rules. And nobody likes that when you're like, you're playing a game with somebody and they're like, actually, I'm the mayor. Actually, I'm the mayor and you can't do that. Actually, you're in jail, I decided.
I am really interested to see how the city auditor, what they come out with afterwards. And I'm really interested to see how they're going to maneuver this. And again, this is not something like new. They did the same exact thing for the special elections and in 2020. I guess the only thing new is that they'll be educating people about ranked choice voting. I don't understand. How's that?
Which is a thing that's going to need to happen.
If they don't. The way that some politicians rely on a completely uneducated populace to make them capitulate into harming themselves is unbelievable. God forbid we're armed with the knowledge of how this system is supposed to work. The system that they told us to vote for, they say, this is going to work for you. We're not going to really explain how. Or, you know, it's up to the people who are commissioned to, you know, make these changes to teach. But, you know, for real, they did their job. They did what they were supposed to. And now it's up to the next person in line to educate the populace about how this works. This is just simple civic engagement. This is...
Yeah. Well, and so now Rene Gonzalez is anti-voter education, voter turnout, when just months ago he was saying that ranked choice voting was too complicated and that there weren't 12 qualified people in the city of Portland to run for commissioner. He thinks we're all stupid idiots, and then you're going to defund any like voter education effort? It lines up in a, it, you know... Just we think about integrity. We think about
This is why I love the Gap here. Because the hosts here, they talk about what's going on now and they contextualize it in our near history.
Yeah.
That we tend to always forget about. You could tell us what happened 50 years ago, but what happened 5 months ago?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And this is where you bring it back in with each other, and I really appreciate it because yes, it was. It was Rene Gonzalez who said that there are 12 qualified people to run for. And now he's telling us, wait, why are you going to educate these unqualified
people?
Wait a second.
You want to tell people how to use the thing?
And then they better not be black and poor and disabled and a senior and an immigrant or a refugee, God forbid.
Yeah.
Jeez. Which, you know, is, ugh. Rene Gonzalez is, you make it very difficult, you know, to. You can't. It's not sportsmanship.
It's not good sportsmanship.
Can
I be honest? It's loser behavior.
It is.
If this was the schoolyard, we would say get a life. And also, you can't play with us anymore. You're not playing fair. It's not fun.
And then I can see Dan Ryan being like, "Wait a second, guys, what's going on? Why are you
what do you
so
mean?"
And be like, "Well, because he's not being fair. He's not being nice." He'd be like, and you would see him having that realization.
Dan Ryan
on the playground.
Start the timer for Dan Ryan's backtrack. Just see how time it. See how long it takes.
How long do you want to give it? I give it till next Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll say Monday.
Okay, cool.
Somebody might turn him around over the weekend.
It's a bet.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready for a little midway song?
Yes.
And we'll come back for the community question. You're listening to The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. Stay tuned for the community question. We'll be back.
Back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. My name is Tammy and with me is Althea.
Hello, hi, good morning.
That was Shintaro Sakamoto. Extremely Bad Man is the name of the song.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's a good little vibe.
It is.
We are going to get into our community question segment in just a moment. I do want to mention this is KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 3 Special Programming Campaign. A fabulous time to support KBOO. We're doing a lot of fun stuff. KBOO.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Some things coming up. Some of them are KBOO things. Some of them are just friends of KBOO things. The Metal Marathon kicks off tonight 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock to 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mm. If you're a metal fan, keep it locked. And then Saturday market, we have their 50th anniversary kickoff, start of the season. We have KBOO DJs are going to be there live. Go say hi. I think Wade and Tom from Noontime Jamboree are going to be playing some records for the good people. I also wanted to make mention that it's the wrap-up weekend of the Cascade Festival of African Films. Aviva McClure, who's one of the co-directors, was on the show a couple weeks ago along with one of the filmmakers. Tonight at PCC Cascade at 7 o'clock, The Mother of All Lies is the movie that's playing. And then tomorrow, on Saturday, at 2 o'clock, there's a matinee at PCC Cascade, Lionheart. And then at 7 o'clock for the closing night on Saturday at PCC Cascade is Banel and Adama. So
all open to the public.
Yeah, open to the public. You know, friends of the program. We got to shout them out. But listen, it's community question time. Community question time. Time to call in.
Bing bong.
Okay. The community question, what we want to talk about today, car etiquette. Car etiquette. What? Tammy's cracking her knuckles. What is going on these dang roads?
What is going on?
Give us a call, 503-231-8187. You can message us on the website at kboo.fm. I'm looking at it. You can message us on Instagram at The Gap Radio. You can email thegapradio@gmail.com if you would like. We want to know what you think.
Are we too available? No, I'm kidding.
We need to be playing hard to get, but I don't think that we are.
503-231-8187 is the phone number. Car etiquette.
There's a lot.
What comes to mind? Name the first one. Let's say, okay, one that you dislike the most and two that you like the most when you receive that type of car etiquette.
You gotta let people in to merge.
Mm.
There's a lot of poor road design, especially on the highways in this town, and I've griped about that enough. But we are all subject to it. If there's a zipper merge that we have to get into, and there's nowhere else for other people to go, you're going to be one car length ahead. Let people in. Mm. And it doesn't mean you have to let everybody in, but a zipper merge, you know, one, it just drives me nuts. I actually got really mad the other day coming.
It is infuriating. Yeah.
Like I-5 northbound, trying to get over to exit 300. Terrible design, by the way. If you have to get off at exit, I have to merge across two lanes, and there was this huge like RV. It was one of the newer RVs that's all flat, and like the driver's right there, and they were, you know, kissing the bumper of the person in front of them to not let me in. Mm. Which I'm not even going to stay in front of you in that lane. I need to get to the other one. I need to get out of here. And you're huge.
It's like it's an ego thing. It has to be. It has to be some. I mean, not to get psychoanalyzing.
No, but I think it's well founded.
Okay, know? What's a thing that you like that you?
I like when people let me in. I like the little wave. You know, I look forward to summertime when the wave can like be out the window. You know, practice my wave. You know, is it sort of like a sharp one? Is it like?
Well, you do
with the fingers.
I do.
Hey,
this.
Thank you.
I love the wave too.
I love the wave.
I think I don't see it done as much. I remember my grandma doing it a lot, so I definitely see older people do it. But I miss the acknowledgement that you let me through or something.
Can I tell you what whatever. I heard? Somebody said flicking on the hazard lights just for like two clicks as a thank you.
I've received that. I've received that.
I feel like it would immediately cause me alarm.
I could see that, but in context, you know, you got to contextualize the moment.
Uh-huh.
I love when someone does something nice and you don't realize till after you passed.
Oh, that's always nice. Yeah.
The delayed reaction.
When people park in a way that is considerate to other people who might want to park there later.
Oh.
I mean, that's not something we're often talking about how people park poorly.
Mm-hmm.
We're not shouting out the people who are parking in the lines.
That's
or
true.
The people who are, you know, close to the curb or in line so that there's room, you know.
I've seen people leave back when you used to put the ticket that you parked, you know, in cities that you parked. I've seen people like leave that ticket for other people to take so you can remember downtown.
You used to get the paper versions of them. Well, if folks want to call in, we're talking about car etiquette, 503-231-8187. If you're having trouble getting through, please do try again. Or you're also welcome to message us on other mediums. the website, kbu.fm. You can type to us there, the bottom side, right side? Yeah. Sorry, I'm not great with the right and the left. The chat with us function. You can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram. At the Gap Radio. Sorry, brain freeze.
Taking it slow.
Another thing that I've seen lately, people just driving in the bike lane. It's a bike lane.
No, you can't. I don't like when people...
They're like, I'm gonna take a right as soon as this turns.
I don't like when people are inconsiderate to bikers or pedestrians, because in that fight, you will win 100% of the time. Like, again, it's not good sportsmanship.
No.
Between a bike and a pedestrian and an SUV, I'm picking SUV 11 out of 10 times, because you are 300 pounds and made out of steel.
It's also so high up that they can't even see you.
Yeah. And then you're blinding other. That's just the SUV design, the SUV design that gets to me. And their lights, it's like floodlights.
Yeah,
you live in a town. What's
the
going
high
on?
Beams? The high beams are nutty. Some of us with older cars cannot compete. And so, but I am always glad that like my dad reinforced to me when I was like learning to drive in like the dark and stuff. He's like, if you ever get like blinded by somebody's lights, like just look for the lines on the road and just stay
there.
You know,
you can also flip the rear view mirror. You flip it and then it makes it so you can still see that they're behind you, but the light isn't directly flashing in the. Yep, driving school 2017.
Oh, they're still teaching you the good stuff. Well, we have Edie on the line. Hi, Edie, how you doing?
Hello. I think that behind the symptom of crazy dangerous driving and increase one vehicle crashes, like crashing into their garage door or trees or, you know, mailboxes, and speeding and vehicular homicide, people driving the wrong way, very fast on a highway. I think behind all that is that people are not thinking, I am here on the planet because I belong here to bless. And all those other people on the planet are a gift and a blessing for me. We're all in this together. How I think about them, how I treat them, is how I treat myself. It affects my immune system, my mental health, my healing, my awareness of things. When we practice gratitude and respect and compassion, it's the healthiest, safest thing for us. We get good ideas, we get inspired, we feel good. But when we see other people as impediments, how dare you have your vehicle, which is the kind of vehicle I associate with the other over there and not my group? How dare you be in a crosswalk when I want to be in a hurry? How dare you think that I have to obey the laws? The cops don't obey the laws. Why should I? When we think that, you know, it's green, that means I get to go. No, green means look to see if it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you yield to those who have the right of way. And we're not thinking, hey, I'm in a warm, dry, safe, comfortable car, and I can wait a little few seconds for that person who is in the rain, in the cold, being splashed, to cross the road more carefully. We're not, you know, instead of me listening to hate radio in the morning before I go to work and hating my boss and hating everyone else, and hating the other political party color or whatever it is, I could just wake up earlier, have an enjoyable morning, and leave earlier and drive more safely and arrive loving that I have an opportunity to have some housing or, you know, pay off my bills or something. It's just changing that attitude from us versus them. Fear, fear, fear. Hate, hate, hate.
Yeah.
Which is great for getting us to buy crud and work for crud and kill people with crud missiles. But instead, we could just, you know, connect with why we're really alive and what makes us feel alive. And that's love.
Yeah. Well, Edie, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it. I love what you said, and it's very actionable, you know?
Yeah, change of perspective.
Get up a little earlier. Leave a little earlier. Take the stress off yourself. You take the stress off of everybody else. We have another caller we're going to get to in just a sec. I have a comment from the website. This person says, my dad was a huge courtesy of the road person, and it was always a pleasure to drive with him.
Oh.
You know?
I wanted to give you this little bit.
Yeah,
this
please.
Little bit, real quick, and we'll get to the next caller. When I first started driving, I was a little aggro, shocker, coming from, you know, the East Coast. But I was driving with someone, a Portlander,
yeah.
Patrick is his name, and he said, wouldn't you want to be nice in case you ever made a mistake on the road? Wouldn't you want the person to be nice to you? And you know what? That was like a life-changing moment. I said, you're right. And people make mistakes, and you see them make mistakes, and it's like, oh, they didn't meet. Like, that's why they call it a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not an on purpose. It's a mistake.
Give people grace.
Just give, a little grace. I've got another caller.
April, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
What do you think about all this?
Hello. Well, I'm glad to hear the topic we talked about. I really want to put a great big shout out to all those activist drivers who do stop during the rain or you know, when pedestrians need to get across the street, but especially the ones who, when they see that I've been standing there for a couple of minutes and all the cars are ignoring me, they stop and they wait until another car gets a clue and stops and I start crossing the street. And I love those people.
That's so nice.
I really want people, drivers, to think about, I can't, there are at least three or four times, maybe more, that I have seen drivers do horrible things, like turn right in front of me when I'm in a crosswalk where the light says right or walk, and come really close to hitting me. And I've seen their kids look at me with this horrified expression. And so I want you to think about teaching your children. I mean, it's not only, you know, like what you're telling them, it's what you're doing. In fact, maybe even more. Your kids see you do that, and they see you break the law.
Mm.
You know, there are a couple things. They're not going to respect you as much as a parent.
Mm.
Maybe they're going to question what you tell them.
Mm.
Maybe they're going to grow up to be a little bit meaner.
Mm.
But the driver actually has the power to set a good example.
Yeah, so, that's very true.
Yeah. So as a pedestrian, it's getting a little more frightening out there. And the most frightening thing for me is cars that will, when they want to make a turn, they drive halfway out into the crosswalk and just wait.
Yeah.
And, you know, my only choice is either to go around them, which usually means walking out into traffic, so I usually don't do it, or to just wait and wait and wait for one of those activist drivers, which are, unfortunately, fairly far between.
Yeah. Well, April, thank you so much for calling. You reminded me of a move that I did recently, and I was like, that was smart of me. Somebody's crossing in the pitch dark. There's like there's a crosswalk there, but there's no light. I see them. I stop. The other direction, a couple cars fly by. I'm stopped. There's people behind me stopped waiting for this person to be able to cross. Flick the high beams.
Yeah.
Let the person coming the other way know, hey, stop. Mm. There's somebody that's right there.
That is what we really need. And
that's
that
not me bragging. I just felt smart about doing
it. It's communicating, though. It's acknowledging that.
Yeah. Well, that's true community, too.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the direction we need to be going in so many parts of our lives, in all parts of our lives, actually.
Yeah, and it doesn't take anything away. But thank you, April. We appreciate it. We have another caller, Liz, on the line. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Thank you so much for this topic. It is very appropriate. And I was thinking the other day, why are we talking about things that aren't part of our daily life? And this certainly is. And I love the comments. And I am really working on that myself. I've calmed down a lot. And I hear why it's so important. And one reason why I love The Gap also is because you're talking about current topics. And one of the most important things going for us is that our rights, our vote of participation in our, not directing, but helping to govern our police are trying to be taken away. And so I'm really against that.
Mm-hmm.
And, really want to exercise my right to participate. So thank you so much for talking about that. And just one more thing is I hope that we don't get our beautiful green farmland that was so wisely put in place so that we could feed our people and feed the rest of the maybe the world even with certain products that we can create here. So thank you so much for your program, and I will listen off the air.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Liz. We appreciate it. You know, all of this courtesy, it actually doesn't cost you anything.
And it adds more to your life.
Yeah.
And I was a good person today. It adds up.
I just did something that helped somebody cross the street. That's great. Can I say another thing?
Sure.
This is more like a PSA. Just because you can go right on red doesn't mean you have to.
Mm-hmm.
People like behind you will get mad at you. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, where are you going? You get to turn right on red, turn right on red. We have to go. First of all, you leave earlier. That's not my fault. Second of all, you don't have to go right on red. And in fact, perhaps we should outlaw it. I think it's a good idea in terms of the whole reason it was passed for actually environmental reasons.
Mm.
Because it, you know, people,
it's like
they
less
thought
idling.
They thought that stopping your car was bad. If there's two of us on the whole road and I haven't turned right on red, that's fine. If it's the middle of the night, got it. But if it's busy, if there's cars flying by, I don't need to creep out there. I'll go right when it's green. Like, everybody calm down.
Just slow down a little bit. It
slow your roll. Well, we got to wrap up.
All I've got to say. It's been a pleasure coming back here.
I'm so glad you're back.
Yay. Thank you, Althea. I'm Tammy.
I'm Althea. KBOO.FM/give. Check
out
all thrills, no frills. Check it out. We got to go. Okay, bye.
With the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Friday, March 1st at 8 p.m., KBOO makes everything metal. It's the Metal March, a special benefit show for KBOO.